Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Again, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, his name is wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And we worship him on today and give him the praise, glory, and honor that's due unto his name. Truly, we thank God for just another day and another opportunity for us to come together and gather today again for just another glorious lesson and time in the Lord on today. Now, today, our lesson is going to be on suffering for the gospel. I want to take a moment before we get right into our lesson, and I want to say I thank God for you today and you and all of our listeners around the world. I want you to know I'm excited about you and excited about what God is doing in and through your life. So if you get a moment, send me an email or go back to the blogcast and just on my page and just leave us a comment or a message. If these lessons has been a blessing to you, or visit our web page and things, and just take a moment and visit us there on the web, and that's at ShekinahGloryTabernacle.com, and I'll spell that ShekinahTabernacle Tabernacle, TabernacleTabernacle. .com. So that should have been Shekinah Glory, Glory, Tabernacle.com. And so you can check out our website there and leave a message there as well, or get our email address and you can send us a message, because I want to hear from you if you have been blessed by these messages and lessons, that it may have been empowering to your life, gave you greater understanding about the Word of God and what God is calling for you even in your life today. So we're going to take a look, and as you grab your Bible and come on in and just make yourself right at home as we look at the Word of the Lord on today. Again, as I stated, it's going to be on suffering for the gospel. And our lesson text is going to come from Acts chapter 4, verses number 5 and 12, also verses 23 through verse number 24, as well as Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and verse 42 through verse 42. Now, let's take a look here. It said, the disciples of Christ suffered willingly for the gospel's sake, but God's grace was sufficient for them. Now let's take a look at the scripture lesson over in Acts chapter 4, verse number 5 to verse number 12. And let's read it all together. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucify, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does both this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verses number 23 and 24 read, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, and thou hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now let's look at Acts chapter number 5, verses number 40 through verse number 42, and look at the scripture. This is all our backdrop to what our lesson is going to be centered around. And to him that agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now, our key verse of where we're going to focus at on today is Acts chapter 5, verses number 41, and it reads on this line, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, let's look here at our lesson on today. The day of Pentecost created an uproar throughout the city of Jerusalem. Many people were amazed at the event of the upper room and embraced this new experience of spiritual new birth. In the days that followed, the numbers of believers multiplied quickly as revival swept the city. But some individuals were alarmed by the development. The Jewish religious leaders felt threatened because of their eroding powers of control over the people. Their position of authority and prominence was in danger of collapse. Many of the traditions and regulations were unbiblical, and the teaching of man from Nazareth challenged them. They had crucified Jesus and thought his influence was removed from Israel. But how wrong they were. Jesus had resurrected from the dead and was alive forevermore. Now, the new birth experience of which Jesus had spoken to Nicodemus began on the day of Pentecost. The wind of the Holy Spirit blew across the city, and many people were filled. Their thirsty souls received the living waters that Jesus had offered the woman at the well in Samaria. There were some, however, who were not pleased by this spiritual outpour. It was inevitable that persecution would come. The enemy was not about to sit idle by and watch his grip on the souls of man slip away. The devil began working through mankind in an attempt to destroy the young church. But they were committed to the cause of Christ. They felt privileged to suffer for the Lord and rejoice in the victory of the Spirit. Now let's look at the first persecution, because when we look at the Word of God, we can find that there's nothing new up under the sun, how that even the devil is still trying to fight up against the church, but it is those that are committed to God that are able just to stand and hold fast to the things of God, to watch God prevail for his own bride and church. Now let's look at the first persecution. The cause of God was always faced opposition. and has faced opposition. The enemy is not content to watch the work of God progress without seeking to thaw it out. His sole aim is to tear down and to destroy whatever God is doing. The people of God has always had to deal with persecution and opposition. The Israelites faced oppression from the Egyptian and later the Amalekites. Samson fought with the Philistine. Gideon had to deal with the Midianites. Hezekiah was with the Assyrians who troubled the people of Judah. Nehemiah contended with Sanballat and Tobiah. Amazingly, the persecution of the early church came from religious leaders of that day. Satan will use any means possible to oppose the victory of God's people. It is inevitable that persecution and opposition will follow the victories that the early church was expecting. Multitudes were believing the gospel and receiving the Holy Ghost. Miracles and healings was happening, and God's word was spreading like wildfire. Acts 5 and 16 state, "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them that which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed every one." When God began to move in a miraculous way, the adversary would display himself soon afterward, ready to thwart the work of God if possible. When the church seeks to experience revival and begin to witness a spiritual outpour of miracle, healings, and conversion, they can expect opposition from the enemy. As the church grows and prospers, the enemy will try to derail the momentum of the people. Now, I want you to see, that's what Pastor always shared. Now, I want to say that again. The enemy will want to come and derail the momentum and stop the momentum. But we as people of God, we must keep our mind focused and keep our mind and heart and soul turned towards God so that we can be able to keep that momentum going. Not all problems we encounter in life are satanic in origin. Some situations happen because we are human beings living in an imperfect world which have flaws by sin. However, whatever trouble comes to us, Satan will attempt to use them to discourage the people of God and impede the progress of the church. For an example, if there were an outbreak of disease among children of a congregation, it probably is not because of Satan, but because of the spread of an epidemic disease that the problem occurred. However, Satan will take advantage of the opportunity to try to discourage the parents and other members of the church. Now, whatever the nature of the problem, temptation, and trials we face, local factory layoff or sickness among the people, death of friends or loved ones, we are certain that God will grant us his strength, his mercy, and his love when we are faced with any trial, tribulation, or persecution. We can have victory in Jesus Christ and remain focused on the purpose of the will and will of God. Now, I want to point that out, that in the midst of your trial and in the midst of the things that come to try your own very soul, God wants us to maintain our focus on the purpose and the will of God, no matter what goes on. You know, this is what a practice that I personally did as my own personal testimony and experience is that when I seen things that was trying to bring me away from God or the things of God from my church, during that moment when I had to be away, I knew that they may be praying. So I went into prayer with them wherever I was at in that spirit and things. Or whatever I had to do to take care of that business, I tried to make it back to the house of God, even if I got there at the benediction, so that it would not lose that momentum or that flow that God had for us. And so it's key, child of God, you must maintain your momentum and don't stop. Let God continue to flow in and through you. In addition to typical troubles and problems of life we may encounter as human beings, we will experience persecution from forces outside the church. In the early church, the persecution came from many religious leaders of Judaism. Many of them followed Jesus from a distance, seeking ways to destroy his influence. They were forever on the edge of the crowd, finding fault with whatever Jesus did. Eventually, they were responsible for having him arrested and crucified. They were angry. Therefore, when the early church preached and taught Jesus, now, Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and 28 let us know, and when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command that you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intended to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, let's look at this. The suffering of the young church. Now, remember, the church is just being birthed out, so yet you can understand the backdrop and things. The disciples have received the command. They have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, the 120, and now they're being persecuted. And so here we have this church. It said a person's reputation involves his name, character, and esteem, which other people hold them. Suffering the gospel might entail the loss of one's reputation and esteem among some people. Christians have sometimes suffered the loss of family relationships, the loss of jobs, and income because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Many young Christians of the early church suffered the loss of their reputation as word spread throughout Jerusalem of this new sect. They cast their lot with the people of the name of Jesus, a name that evoked a wide range of emotions from joy to curiosity to anger. They willingly suffered the loss of their reputation and humiliation among friends and family because of their faith in the devotion and devotion to Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and 3 states, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening time. And so here the scripture let us know that they was even thrown in prison and in jail. It was embarrassing and humiliating to be arrested publicly and taken to jail, but the apostles were not ashamed. In Acts 4, Peter declared to the Samaritan council, Sanhedrin council, that salvation came only through the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 4 and 12. Because of the miracle and the lack of wrongdoing by John and Peter, the council did not punish them, but they warned them not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. But Peter answered them that they must obey God and not men, Acts 4, verses 18 through 19. In Acts chapter 5, we read that the Jewish council, led by the high priest and all the apostles, had all the apostles arrested and put in prison. But an angel opened the prison doors, and the apostle returned to the streets to preach Jesus Christ. The council had the temple guard bring them before the council and accused them of obeying the orders not to preach in the name of Jesus. Again, the apostle affirmed their faith in Jesus Christ. The council then decided to kill the apostles, but one member warned them that they may be fighting against God, so they modified their punishment to beating them with rods and threatening them again about preaching in the name of Jesus. The apostle left the council with hurting bodies, but the joy that they were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. Now, prior to the stoning of Stephen, the persecution of the Christian had been limited to threats, brief periods of imprisonment, and threatening of the beating of the apostle. The death of Stephen, however, was to spark the ignited the fire of organized, decisive persecution against all Christians. You'll see that Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through verse number 3, and it reads this line. And Paul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostle. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. The intensity of persecution increased against the church in Jerusalem until the life of every child of God was threatened. It was one thing to suffer shame and even beaten for the sake of the gospel, but only a genuine commitment to God could sustain them when their lives were in danger. The persecution extended to men and women in the church, many of whom were put in prison. This caused many Christians to leave Jerusalem to live in other cities in Israel and other nations. Many renowned leaders of the early church faced death as a martyr. The death of Stephen and the beheading of James by a sword, and the planned death of Peter reveal some of the intensity of the persecution. Christians faced death with courage and dignity, however, ready to do whatever they could to spread the good news of the kingdom of God. The enemy had drawn blood, and the intensity of the persecution grew, especially at the hand of Saul of Tarsus, who was destined to become the Apostle Paul. He was personally responsible for the suffering of many Christians, though he regretted it deeply after his conversion. Suffering for the gospel is not relegated only to the Christian of the first century. Through the centuries, there have been many courageous men and women who willingly sacrificed their own life for the testimony of Jesus. In the early years of the 20th century, it was not fashionable to be apostolic and speak with tongues. Many suffered greatly to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, their family ostracized and disowned them. They suffer economic loss, the loss of reputation, and sometimes physical punishment at the hands of families, friends, and religious people. Presently, they are precious Christians in part of Asia, Africa, Europe, Central America, and South America, who are persecuted severely for their faith. Though they may suffer greatly because of their testimony, they do so because of their love for Jesus Christ and the message of salvation. Now, let's look at the example of courageous men. 1 Samuel 17 and 32 state, "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him, and the servant will go and fight with this Philistine.'" Now, let's look at David, one of these courageous men. David is one of the best-known men of the entire Bible, perhaps because of his faith and bravery. As a young shepherd, David faced a lion and a bear who jeopardized his flock of sheep. He bravely killed them rather than allow them to destroy his helpless lamb. He testified that God had delivered them into his hand. To David, Goliath was like the lion and the bear, just another obstacle that God could remove easily. And that's what we have to do, if I may stop for just a moment and invite us to look at. We must, as never before, look at even our trials and tribulation as just another obstacle that God can truly overtake and destroy at his own desire and will. While men of Israel were cowering in the fear at the thought of facing the giant, David volunteered to meet him on the battlefield. The men of Israel made the mistake of measuring Goliath against themselves, for he seemed far too big to fight. But David measured the giant against his God. Now, let's stop there. I want you to grab that principle because it's key for us to get that. Now, when you are facing a circumstance that is much larger than you, your resources, or your ability, what you need to do, or I invite you to do, is to consider measuring that circumstances against God, amen, against God, and not yourself, not your ability, not your experiences, or even whatever else that need to get the job done, or to make sure that that be accomplished. You must measure it by God and God's ability to do all things but fail. Amen? Now, he saw Goliath as too big to miss. He was confident of the outcome because his faith was in God, not in itself. David was courageous as he walked across the valley to face the monster of a man. God did not fail David, but gave him the victory. Yet David's faith in God and his success as a warrior stirred jealousy, fear, and anger in King Saul, who sought to kill David. For years, David lived as an outlaw in exile in fear of his life. His suffering came only because his faith and dedication to God brought God's blessings upon him. Now, another principle I want you to get. Your dedication to God, your faith, will bring the blessings upon you. Your dedication and your faith in God and your dedication to God will bring and invoke his blessings in your life. Now, let's look at another man, courageous man, by the name of Daniel. Daniel lived for God in the midst of a moral degraded time in Babylon. He observed both the raise of power and the humiliation of Nebuchadnezzar. He was there when the Lord judged Nebuchadnezzar and wrote his judgment in the plaster on the wall of Belshazzar's palace. Daniel was still there when the Medes and the Persian conquered the land. And through all, Daniel remained true to God. After Darius became the king of Babylon, evil men in the kingdom deceived him and caused him to sign a decree regarding worship. Their motives was to destroy David, Daniel. They envied Daniel for the blessings of God upon his life, elevating him to a high political position of power and influence in the kingdom. And I come to tell you, children of God, when the blessings of the Lord that we were just talking about earlier come upon your life, that, you know, there be people that are be motivated to destroy your life, your reputation, and everything you have because they see the blessings of God upon your life. But don't let that stop you or disturb you or deter you from what God is doing in and through your life. You have to stay focused in on God and the things of God. Daniel's steadfast faith dedicated to God gave them a way to turn kings against him. They chose one practice in Daniel's life to entrap him: continual prayers to Jehovah. The decree against praying to any god except the king of Babylon for 30 days made Daniel prayer a crime. The penalty for breaking the decree was to be cast into the den of lions. Daniel spent his night with the lions, but God delivered him without harm. Now, let's look at Daniel 6 and 7. It reads on this line. And all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the prince and the counselor and the captains had consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, saved of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Daniel was courageous in his faith. He had served God faithfully all his life and was not about to cave in to such pressure now. Daniel continued to pray three times a day as he was his practice. Daniel 6 and 10 state, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and the windows being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as he did aforetime. When Daniel was arrested and cast into the dens of lions, he went with faith in God. Although he did not know beforehand what the end of the story would be, he knew God and the right thing to do, and he was ready to sacrifice his life to do the right thing before God, and his confidence was in God. And that's where we as children of God, we must keep and remain and maintain our confidence in God. Whatever you believe in God to do, you know, there's many things that will cause an individual to not believe. And what we have to do is begin to know our own self individually and begin to recognize what are the things that is in our life that's fighting up against the will of God or saying to you that God won't do it. And when you begin to conquer and take dominion over those things, then you'll be able to see God move in a greater way, because you're putting your total faith in God and in the things of God. And God will tremendously bless you because you put your faith and trust and confidence in the Lord our God. Now, let's look at the courageous apostles. Now, we looked at courageous men, examples of them. Now, let's look at the courageous apostles. Much has been said about Peter denying the Lord three times to his own personal dismays and heartbreak. Peter fulfilled the Lord's prediction of denial. But Peter found courage to repent. And the Lord appeared to him after his resurrection and affirmed to him that his call was still to strengthen the brethren after his conversion. You'll see that over in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. When Peter received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he became a bold, courageous proclaimer of truth. Peter preached the first message in the day in the church on the day of Pentecost. He became a leader proclaiming truth to Jews, Samaritan, and the Gentiles. Whatever challenged the early church faith, he was a bold leader for God. Following the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful in Acts 3, Peter and John was arrested and jailed overnight. Great revival was the result of the miraculous healing of the man and the bold preaching of the apostle. After 5,000 souls were saved, Acts 4:4, the day following their arrest, they were taken before Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, and Alexander's for interrogation. The inquisitors asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Acts 4:7. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deeds done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, and even by his, does this man stand here before you whole." Acts 4:8-10. Now, Peter and John was bold and courageous in the face of all of the opposition. It was not by their own strength and power that they faced intense scrutiny, but by the boldness given them by the Holy Ghost. See Acts 4:13. though Peter was the obvious spokesman of their pair, John was an integral part of the team. John was with Peter at the gate called Beautiful when the lame man was healed. He was with Peter when they were in jail, and he was there when Peter declared their faith in Jesus to the high priest. John, who later was expelled to the Isle of Patmos for the gospel, exhibited great courage in the ministry as he did the other gospel. Although John suffered persecution, as did the other apostle, tradition tells us that the only apostle to escape a martyr death. Historical tradition also indicates that he was boiled in oil before he was cast upon a rocky, barren Patmos. There in exile, he wrote the book of Revelation. He was courageous and brave in the face of suffering and persecution in the lonely exile. So the Bible does not record history of the final days of the apostles. Historians recorded some information about what happened to them. The men who had walked and talked with Jesus went to various parts of the known world and shared the gospel of Christ. One by one, they were killed for the gospel's sake, except John, who eventually died a natural death at old age. They first faced crucifixion, beheaded, and various means of torture. Only eternity would tell the whole story of the apostle, but we must know they served God in both good times and bad times. They did not deny Jesus or the gospel message he gave to them. The gift of the Holy Ghost gave them the boldness and courage as they faced times of severe persecution. Now, let's look at another point, committed witnesses. Standing in the temple as the church continued to grow, persecution increased intensity. The Lord continued to add to the church, and many miracles attracted people who came to see what was happening. But the high priest and the Sanhedrin, Sadducees, were filled with indignation against the apostle and early church. And the early Christian. They arrested them and put them in prison and intended to punish them for the preaching Jesus Christ after their warning to Peter and John. But God sent an angel to interrupt the Jewish council proceeding. Acts chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison door and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people of all the words of this life." Acts chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. God had in mind for the apostle to take his word both to the high and low places of this world. God delivered the apostle so that they could take the good news of salvation to the very temple where those who persecuted and intimidated them sat in heresy. We must obey God. When the Jewish council discovered that the apostles were out of prison and preaching at the temple, they sent guards to take them quietly. The high priest and the council were upset that the apostles were still preaching about Jesus. They demanded that their orders be obeyed, but the apostle had one mandate to preach Jesus Christ. Acts 5 and 29 read. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." There were times when witnessing for the Lord brings the wrath of individual upon the church. We need to be wise in our effort to win the lost, for he that winneth souls is wise. However, we must not hesitate to stand up and be strong for Christ in the face of opposition. When the regulation of man's inventions are contrary to the will of God, we must obey God and not man. Now let's look here at another point, that the privilege to suffer. After the council had questioned the apostles, they had the apostle beaten with the command that they were cast to cease to speak about Jesus. The beating and the threats did not discourage the apostle. On the contrary, they left the council meeting rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts 5:41. Moreover, they continued daily in the temple and in the house to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Acts 5:42. When time came that the Christian faced severe opposition to the cause of Jesus Christ, God will give us grace. Though we be ridiculed and jailed or beaten for the sake of the gospel, our attitude must be one of forgiveness for our enemies and the feeling of gratefulness to God for the privilege to suffer for the name of Jesus. Now let's look here at our final point, is that rejoicing and victory even when suffering. There is a difference between suffering for foolishness, foolish mistake that we make, or suffering for the gospel's sake. Some people may obey the scripture and still suffer, and not because of the truth, but because they exercise poor judgment or behave foolishly. Such suffering for a personal failure does not bring glory to the Lord. If we suffer for the Lord, however, we can rejoice in that our trial of faith will glorify Jesus. The apostle left the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. They had a victorious attitude about what had happened to them. Instead of feeling sad over their aches and pain, they rejoiced and continued to preach, teach, and witness with great, even greater boldness. Now, let's take a look here as we examine the lives of these apostles and look at our lesson as we get ready to bring closure in being suffering for the gospel. And we talked about how the first church and the young church came up against great opposition, but they continued on and steadfastly in the things of God. And again, they didn't stop the momentum, and that's what the enemy wants to do, is stop the momentum. And what we have to do as those, the intercessors, the prayer warriors, the covenant prayer, we must continue to pray and continue to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the authority and the power that is rested and rule in that name. And so we must, as never before, yes, we will have tribulation. Yes, we have trials and circumstances that will come up against you as a child of God. But you must remember, as never before, stay focused on your goal and purpose, the purpose and the will of God. Stay focused on that. And don't let no one or no circumstances, emotion, perplexity, opposition, persecution, trial, tribulation, take you from that purpose of God and the will of God. You stay in the will, amen, of God. Now, let's look at our closing here. It said the church was still young when persecution erupted, and with rapid spread of the gospel of Jesus throughout Jerusalem, religious leaders of the day became concerned that they would lose religious control of the people. The devil has always been in the business of attempting to derail the purposes of God, but his attempt to use people to try and to stamp out the church only resulted in it growing more and more. The young church suffered in many ways. Many lost friends, economic opportunities, acceptance by family members. Some even suffer shame for the name of Jesus. As the persecution increased in intensity, the disciples suffered physical abuse. They were jailed, beaten, but they kept on preaching and spreading the word of God. God has always had courageous men and women who refused to bend to pressure. Their faith and trusting God did not fail in the face of seemingly insurmountable oppositions. David did not consider listening to the boast and the roar of Goliath. He readily faced the intimidating giant because he knew God was with him. Daniel refused to discontinue his prayer meeting when the threats of the law hung over his head. Peter and John and the other apostle refused to quit preaching just because the council commanded them to do so. They chose to obey the divine call and their divine mandate from God. The early church was committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did not love their life more than they loved God. They will willingly face persecution and even death to spread God's truth. To spread the gospel message meant beating and imprisonment, yet they felt honor and privilege to suffer for the Lord. Instead of feeling depressed about their suffering, they rejoiced in their victory. They refused to let persecution seal their lips. They became even more bold in their mission to spread the good news to the whole world. Oh, look at that. Look at that. And so it is, children of God, for our lesson on today. We must recognize that you may have faced or have been facing great persecution or great trials because of the mandate that God has put upon your life and the call. But I come to encourage you and to empower you and strengthen you to continue steadfastly in the things of God and focus in on the will and the purpose of God for your life. Yes, there will be trials. Yes, there will be persecution. But what God is calling for us and the church to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We must continue to abound in the things of God. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. We must hold fast to it and continue on to do the work and the will of the Lord that God has called us to do. He called us out of darkness into the marvelous light that we may be a beacon and share the gospel, share the good news. Share your testimony. Share what God has done in and through your life so that somebody else's life may be transformed and regenerated and saved and transformed by the power of the dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, child of God, and just shout hallelujah. I just feel the power of God. Yes, the people of God may be persecuted because of the gospel, but guess what? The Holy Ghost, God's grace is sufficient. The Holy Ghost comes to undergird and to fortify the body of Christ as we endeavor to do the work and the will of the Lord. So don't you dare back up. Don't you dare allow the adversary to hold your praise back anymore and hold your worship back to God. But don't you know that worship and praise unto God is your strength? Amen. And then the presence of God will be there in the midst of the people of God. And as you just hold fast to the thing of God, God is going to do it in and through your life, child of God. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. It may not feel comfortable right now, but I tell you, by and by, if you just hold fast and hold on to the things of God, ask God to for his forgiveness. Forgive those that persecuted you. Forgive those that spoke all manner of evil against you. You forgive them and let them go. And God will do the rest. And God will set things in order when he comes, when he's ready to do and recompense. He said, vengeance belongeth unto me. God, he is a good God. He's a mighty battle axe, and he know how to take care of his own business. So I encourage you on child of God on today to be so encouraged as never before of doing the work and the will of the Lord. Now, I'm going to do something. We do have about 10 more minutes that is on for our show today. And basically for our lesson on today, I am very finished of talking about what we talked about, the courageous man. We talked about the early church and the young church suffering, and we talked about John being bold and left out on the Isle of Patmos, but he kept on and he wrote the book of Revelation. You don't know what you may have to go through, amen, for the gospel's sake, but you hold fast. And so what I want to do on today is just to open up the lines and to talk with anyone, if anyone want to call in and share some reflection or share a testimony and things. I wanted to just to entertain any calls on today. So for the next maybe about 5, maybe about 6 minutes, we'll take calls, any of our callers that would like to call in. Our number is 464-378-1469. And while people are taking time to call in, I want to encourage you to go to an excellent website, Destiny One. That's DESTINY One, Destiny One. It has some fabulous, fabulous, great things that are there. If you're able to go there and just look at that website, it will be a blessing to your ministry, a blessing to the things. Okay, we have a caller here. One moment. Hello, you're on the air.
Well, praise the Lord, Pastor.
Praise the Lord, Minister Robin Lynn.
Well, I'm just real thankful to God. Let me turn down this speaker really quick. I'm just real thankful to what God is doing and, you know, being new in the ministry myself.
Yes.
I'm kind of going through a situation, and it's a situation where I have strong faith, but I have a husband, and he's made a decision that seems to be lacking in faith. But is it possible for me to go by what my husband decides, but I still have my faith in what God is doing and has done, if that makes any sense?
I believe, now can you, now you say to go by what your husband is doing.
My husband has made a decision, you know, for us, and it just seems to me that his decision is not having faith, is not showing faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where God has brought us to this situation, and then I just have complete utter faith and trust in God, but in yielding to my husband, you know, does that mean that I'm losing, you know, not holding fast to my faith and trust in God?
No, I don't believe that is the case. I believe that you should still hold fast and just believe God, and yet still honoring your husband as well, because he is the head according to the word of the Lord. And what we can do as children of God is continue to pray and continue to tell God, God, I'm trusting you. This is not my decision. God, this is not what my faith say. My faith say that you will do it. Now, as we listened to the session earlier, we talked about one courageous man, which was Daniel and David. Now, when David sized up Goliath, even though Goliath was very tall and very big, a giant and thing, he sized it up with God. And so sometimes even when we are dealing with circumstances and situation in our life, you know, we got to size it up with God and just say, God, you know, you are greater, and I'm trusting that you will come through and orchestrate and work things out for your good. That's my prayer, God, that we work things out for your good. And I give you permission, God, for divine intervention to order our steps.
Okay.
Perhaps he's not in that right posture right now, God. And you can say, God, he's maybe not looking it out of the eyes of faith, God, but I'm looking it out of the eyes of faith. And this is what my faith is saying, because the two have become one. And you can say, God, I stand one. This is our faith in things. I bring my faith before you, God, that I'm trusting you, that you're going to intercede.
Oh, okay.
Now, hold on. Here's another scripture I want to give you. The scripture says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he's able to turn it whatsoever way he will. Whatever way God wants to turn the heart of the king. So now let's take and put it in light of your circumstances today so we can contextualize it now. Well, what it is that what you can do is say, go take that same prayer out of Proverbs and begin. It wasn't a prayer, but it was just a word of wisdom. But you can take it to convert it into a prayer and begin to say, God, the heart of the king, which is my husband, because he's the head, is in your hand right now, God. And I need you to turn it, Lord, whatsoever way you will, God. Father, you turn it heart.
Okay.
Because you are the heart turner, God, not me. I'm just going to stay loving. I'm going to keep making the apple pies and being the wife that I need to be. But, Father, I need you to take care of this one on my behalf because I believe you. You showed me. I believe this is what you've given us. But I don't want to go over my husband's head. I don't want to disrespect him. But you do have clout and influence in the kingdom of God by taking that prayer and say, God, the heart of my husband is in your hand. Please turn it, Father. And turn it to the right direction that we need. Okay? I pray that that was helpful.
Oh, it was helpful. My concern was just that you know, that this could hinder my walk and my servitude in God. So, you know, I
talk with God.
Yeah. I just endeavor to be right before the Lord. So that's my strongest desire. Thank you.
You're so welcome, and thank you for calling in. You know we love you, and God bless you. Amen. Remember, God got it. Turn it over to Jesus. Amen. So thank you for calling in.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. I want to say I thank God for that particular call because we want to be able to contextualize the word of God into the relevancy for living today and how that we can walk in the scriptures and those promises that are available for us. And so I really thank God for my precious heart minister calling in and for such a key question, especially with women in ministry and have a spouse and things that is there. And so, you know, God is able. God will help us. God will do that which he needs us to do in things as we call upon the name of the Lord and continue to look unto him, that God will make a way of escape. And you can always remember, women of God, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And what you can say, you know, God, I need you to turn the heart of the king for me. You called me. You are giving me the mandate. But now I need you to turn the heart of the king. And God is able to. And I'm going to see God do great things in and through the lives of his women. He's raising up women in ministry, women pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers. He's doing a great and a mighty work. And so I want you to be encouraged in that which God is calling you to do and things. But, you know, God is your shield and your refuge, and he will be able to fight every battle on your behalf and things. As you just acknowledge him first, he will direct your path and let God fight the battle. And when the battle is completed, it is done. Amen, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has fought the battle. And so thank you for all of the calls or the calls that we did have. And I want to say I thank God for you on today and for you joining me. I pray that you have been blessed and that every one of your heart desires as you worship God and you praise God and delight yourself in God. Now, that's another key. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Start delighting yourself in God. He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. So when those things come, delight yourself in God. And God's promise, he's going to give you your desires of your heart. So I rejoice with you when you call back in and say you got the desires of your heart because you you contextualize the Word of God and applied it to your life, the principles and the lessons and the Word of God. And remember, child of God, even in my closing, as I always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. According to Matthew 7:7-8, I tell you, if you have thrown in the towel, go back and get it and start all over again. Call on the name of the Lord. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. Come on and shout hallelujah. May God bless you until we meet again. Be all blessed. Peace be unto you.